Hello, everybody. Welcome to this, the 217th episode in 2021. I don't know why I said 2012. I've been real bad. I'm Albie. This is Ramzor Baghdad. I'm your host. Joining us today, we have Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'll be here for some of this, at least.
Some of it.
Yeah.
That's good. Welcome back. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. To you.
Yes.
And to you, Jake.
And also yeah. to you.
You too.
Yeah. Look at that. We made it to 2020. Wasn't that a fun year? High quality
2021.
Year. 2021. Well, we made it through 2020, though, Mary. We made it through it. We did it. We survived the toilet paper outages. Survived Cyberpunk 2077.
Did we though?
Many things. I don't know. Still not sure about that one. Came out a little battered and bruised on that one personally, but you know, we're all here.
2021 is going pretty shitty for me so far too. So,
yeah. Well, we hope it's better.
Extremely shitty, actually. Yeah.
Uh oh, that's not good. That's not good.
It's fine. I'll tell you about it later.
Okay. All right. Oh my goodness. Let's move on to something more happy.
I'm being a bummer.
All right. I got an Oculus Rift. That's going all right.
Yeah.
That's not shitty.
Yeah, there you go. It's not shitty. That's been a lot of fun. That's been a surprisingly, I mean, you guys have always been talking about for years now, like how VR is neat. And that was like, yeah, I see it. I see what you were talking about now. Yeah, that's pretty neat. It's very, very immersive. Punched many, many walls. Scared many a Spider-Man. Wandering around the house. I set like the whatever it is, the perimeter or whatever, really large at one point. Like, because like my house is like a square almost, right? So I just set it around the whole square like a giant walking circle. Yeah, it was really neat. That was cool. Did some neat stuff with that. Yeah, it's cool. VR. Oculus Rift 2. No, actually, it's what is it?
Oculus
Quest 2. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Been messing around with virtual desktop, like streaming that. That's been neat for, like, I don't want to be on the computer. Just go sit at, like, a desk or something like that, or a kitchen table, and just put the headset on. It's neat. That's cool in its own way. Of like, I'm just going to read, I don't know, stuff and watch YouTube on the headset. That's neat. It's been one of my favorite things so far, really. I know, as lame as that sounds. So
block everything else out.
Yeah. Block everything out. Go in. Listen to a Star Wars The Clone Wars podcast.
Oh, not that six-hour Tokimeki Memorial review?
I have not. Yeah, that's on my list for this week. I got to watch that.
I watched that all in basically one setting, so.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Is it good? Is it good?
I really enjoyed it. He made a lot of great points. Tim Rogers of Action Button on YouTube, in case you are interested listening to this and you want to see it too.
If you want to see a Star Wars The Clone Wars podcast, it's a more civilized age. It's a podcast. Austin Walker's on it. Just look it up. It's
cool. Oh, cool.
They talk about fun stuff. They talk about a lot of good things, like Darth Maul. You know, everybody's favorite character, Darth Maul. All right? Everyone's favorite? No?
No.
No? No? We played a little Rec Room in VR the other day.
We did,
which was
neat.
We just kind of messed around, though, in the, I guess you can make a clubhouse or something like that for your club.
Yeah.
Which is neat. We just kind of built, like, you get like a little gun and you can shoot out different props and stuff like that and different set piece stuff. That was neat, but I still want to play like more
the actual stuff,
the actual game. Yeah. I want to play the game, the quests in particular, I'm interested in, but also I would like to play, like, I don't know, there's that battle royale mode I've messed around with in that, and then there's like different paintball modes and stuff. Some neat stuff there that I want to check out at some point. Still haven't tried smooth locomotion. But I got to do that at some point. See if I can handle the full power, the full breath
Yeah.
of the movement. But teleporting is actually better than I thought it would be. I'll say honestly, it's not as I don't know, when I look at it on like YouTube videos and stuff, it's like it feels very disjointed when you're teleporting. But when I've been doing it, it feels sort of natural in a way, how quickly you can move and stuff like that. Very smooth. So that was cool too, to figure out that I actually don't mind teleporting too much in VR.
Once you get used to smooth locomotion, you'll want it in everything.
Ooh, okay. What else did I play on my new headset? Beat Saber, I have that. That's fun. It's also it's a steep learning curve on that sucker. It goes real quick from like, at least in the campaign, from like, here's a couple of blocks to hit to we're gonna throw some stuff at you, that's cool. And it's
I've never played the campaign in Beat Saber.
Oh,
I just
really?
Play random songs, just like DDR. DDR doesn't have a campaign mode.
I guess so. I don't know. I like the campaign mode because it's like, it just hop in. Also, like, the process for like putting custom songs on, I haven't figured out yet. So I was just looking for like, let's just hop in, play something. And the campaign's actually pretty good. They do seem to repeat songs though, which is a bummer in a certain way. But then, what do you do? They do have that crab mix though, that crab song. That crab rave
the
song
crab
in
rave,
there.
Yeah.
That wasn't in there the last time I messed with it.
Which is neat that they would put that kind of song in there. But, there's a free fishing game. I was going to look this up before the podcast, but I had forgotten what it was. And that's a fun game. That's the game I showed off to people at Christmas. People. Well, two people. My father and my grandmother. So
yeah.
Fishing. Yeah. We just, it's neat. It's like you just throw a fishing rod out and you pull a fish out. It's real neat looking, good 3D on it. Like you pull the fish in and it's like, oh shit, there's a giant fish in my hand. It's cool. It's a pretty good one. And it's just like real simple. And you can just, it's something you don't have to be, and it's like a seated experience too. So you don't have to be walking around or setting up mushroom
right.
on it. You just do a stationary on it, which is good for like kind of quick in and out kind of thing. Which I like to a certain extent. What else? Rec Room, Beat Saber, virtual desktop.
So how does it work with like setting up your guardian, like your bounds?
Well, first it'll actually just set the floor level, and so you like kind of I think it like just shows you like a grid, and I think you could I don't know if you grip it or if you just move your controller to the ground. And it'll kind of like set that floor level. And then you just have a grid on the ground. And then you just kind of draw or trace a like a circle on the ground or something like that. Just kind of actually like just paint or draw like an area where you can stand. Because you can see through it, right? The quest can have the outside thing. So you can just see everything through the camera. Everything in black and white. But you can kind of see like, okay, we're going to lay out the floor plan.
Right. But you have to do this every time.
Not every time, no. You can just set the same one, and it weirdly enough, it's able to like remember. Like
I think it's because it takes pictures of your walls.
I would bet
is what I'm guessing it does.
It's got to take some kind of data there because like one time I set it in my bedroom, and then I was like out in the living room playing for a while, doing other stuff, and then I was just like, all right, let's turn on the thing and walk into the I don't know into my bedroom, and it's just remember the whole setup I had in my bedroom. It's just like, here's the zone. And you can just see the zone as you approach it.
Because having stuff on your walls, I hear, is big for the inside-out tracking.
Mm. That makes sense. Really? Stuff on the walls? That's interesting. I would never have thought of that, but that's actually not a bad way to... Especially because it, like... Because
then it can get its bearings.
Yeah,
it says, oh, wait, I know where this is in my save, in the configuration or whatever. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's really smooth. Like, it's barely even asked. It's just like, sometimes they'll ask, like, hey, do you want to do your stationary border or whatever? Because I play stationary sometimes. Or do you want to do your, whatever they call it, recreational boundary or whatever? And so I was like, we'll go one or the other every once in a while. And they remember both, and it's very smooth to move between the two, so.
Nice.
Especially for fish game. Like I'll be playing a little Beat Saber and I'll be like, I'm gonna just sit on the couch now. play a little fishing because I'm sweaty. Then it's like, okay, moves right to it. Very smooth. Feels very good in that respect. That's a really neat little piece of hardware, even though I don't like, I haven't really found the Facebook stuff to be very intrusive so far, but I haven't played around much with the Oculus Store or any of the account stuff, so I will have more to report on that as the days come forward.
Yeah, we'll have to play some actual stuff in Rec Room.
Yeah. And I want to grab, I'm hoping to grab before the end of the sale, Half-Life, obviously, but then I also want to grab, I think I'm going to grab that Star Wars game, too. But I don't know if I should grab it on Epic Store or if I should grab it on...
Do you have Game Pass?
Star Wars? Yeah!
Because EA Play is on Game Pass, which has Star Wars.
Yeah, but I just wonder if it's... I wonder if it could play VR through the Game Pass version.
Probably.
I hope so. I'll have to check that out at some point. See if they have anything on that. Hopefully they do.
The VR worked via Game Pass for No Man's Sky, but also I was using a Windows Mixed Reality headset, so that probably helps too.
And I know VR works with my Flight Simulator as well.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Through Game Pass.
Huh. That's neat. Okay.
I'm guessing all you really need to have is just have the Oculus Home software running.
Yeah.
Have your headset plugged in or whatever, and then just start the game up and it'll pick it up.
Yeah, basically like an Oculus Link thing. Like, yeah. I asked K1, friend of the show, K1, about like, how do I do this? And he was like, you get a virtual desktop, that software, and then it just connects you to your desktop, and then you run like Steam VR or whatever through that, which works pretty well. But I then had to get a new router because it's just my router is old. My router is very old, exceedingly old router. Can't push out like it's pushing out like what, like 2.6 hertz or whatever. So it's not, you need like 5. So I got a new router too. So hopefully that'll work.
Yeah, because you can run, Steam VR games and then stream it over your network to the headsets. You're playing PC games wirelessly.
All right.
So I was looking at a some gamer Netgear router.
Whatever that's called.
Nighthawk.
I think. Nighthawk.
I found a used one on eBay and I was I was thinking about just getting it and plugging it into my Switch in my room and putting it in access point mode and turn off DHCP and all that, and then give it its own name and then just have just the headset on that. And then I'll have line of sight to my desk.
That makes sense. It's not a bad idea. All that is a little lost on me in terms of like, I've never been a big, network router kind of guy. Like I don't, When you guys were trying to describe to me, like, oh, you probably need a new router. I was like, what's a router? But I feel like I got a pretty good one now. I got that, like, what is it, 1750?
Yeah, the AC1750 is the one I've got.
Yeah, the one you got. The
TP-Link one.
The TP-Link one. So it should work out. Speaking of household objects, I've played a wonderful game called Golden Light.
What is this game? I saw you playing it and I was confused.
It's weird looking.
It scares me. Golden Light. It's a roguelike game-ish, kinda. Well, you're in a field with a lady named She, but then giant meat hand grabs her out of the ground and pulls her down into the meat, which is like a dungeon area. When you walk around and everything's a mimic, but also everything is covered in meat. It's a little abstract and creepy.
Sounds like it.
It's hard to even describe. Like you kind of like, it is a roguelike in that you're progressing down like a randomly generated series of dungeons towards a goal, but it's also like every time you die, like it's all like abstract. So you're like, things don't move in the way you would think they would move. Like when you enter a level, there's like weird story stuff happening and you're like walking through stuff that is like, sometimes you'll return to that field you started in with Shi, and it's and the stuff in the field, like LSD, the game, where you just have to walk over to it and look at this weird stuff.
Yeah, I was getting a big LSD vibe from that.
Also because it also looks like a PlayStation 1 game. It does. Also that. Like graphics quality wise, yeah.
There's like a snail with a face that you can pick up and you can eat stuff like knives and guns. If you hold the F key, you can eat everything you pick up. Sometimes you throw other stuff. It's a very strange game. I'd never heard of it until someone was like, hey, you should play this for Trash Thursday on a Friday. I was like, okay, we'll do it. And it's good, but it's also very distressing and disturbing. And Mr. Window is my new favorite character of 2020. Thank you.
Who is Mr. Window? I missed him in the stream. I got there late.
Mr. Window is a window with a face coming out of it and many legs and arms. It is a window. Everything is a mimic. So sometimes you'll go up and there'll be a window on the wall, and then Mr. Window will show up because it actually wasn't a window. It was Mr. Window hiding in the wall. That's who Mr. Window is. I will take a picture someday and show people what Mr. Window looks like, because you cannot find Mr. Window online, or I would post a picture of Mr. Window. He's my friend and he killed me. That's all I know. Mr. Window is my friend.
So does it seem like the game actually has some kind of internal logic to it, or is it just like it's totally random? Like once you learn the rules, does it make more sense? Or
I mean, there's definitely rules. There's like a logic to it, right? Like there are certain effects. Like every time you restart the kind of roguelike section, every item has a new, like, shuffles their effect. So okay. There is, like, a logic in terms of that stuff where, like, once you figure out on a run what the snail face does, on that run, it'll do the same thing. But every time it resets, it's basically a new mystery of, like, trying to figure out what all these objects and items actually do.
So it's a mysterious dungeon then, huh?
Yes.
That's, yeah, like those games.
Yeah, there you go. It's a mysterious dungeon. But then also sometimes you'll find like an accordion on the ground and you'll play the accordion and then you'll end up like 15 levels lower than where you're at. But then you'll walk in and get murdered by a giant thing called Caroline or something like that. And you'll be like, okay, well, that was weird. So it's a, you know, absurdist, abstract kind of game. Like it accepts the fundamental rules of roguelikes insofar as it can distort those rules. Which is neat. Also has co-op, so me and Popkins are going to play that at some point.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know what that's going to be like. But we're excited. Should be great. It's cool. It's a cool game. Mary, speaking of cool games, you played the coolest game, Mahjong.
Yeah. I finally learned how to play it.
Oh, boy.
GiantBomb.com has been doing this thing lately where Ben and Jan have been learning to play Mahjong.
Uh-huh.
And I was watching those videos sitting on the couch taking care of a baby. And in the game in that video series, they got introduced to a game called Mahjong Soul, which is a free-to-play Mahjong game. With gacha elements, all of the gacha stuff is just purely cosmetic. Like, to play the game, you don't need any money. There's no stamina. So it's decent for that. But in that game, it actually has a very good tutorial that kind of tells you how to play Mahjong. And watching that tutorial, I was like, oh, okay. This is,
Mahjong suddenly makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So I booted up Yakuza Like a Dragon, went to the Mahjong parlor and started playing the hell out of it that way. And I'm actually halfway decent at Mahjong now.
Nice.
I also downloaded that Mahjong Soul game. I got an iPad for Christmas, so that is perfect for playing Mahjong on. Before I got the iPad, I was playing it on my phone, which kind of sucks because to see like the opponent's discarded tiles, which is very important. You need to see like what is already out on the field, so you can plan ahead. They were kind of small on my phone, like I had to squint. But on the new iPad, on this 10-inch iPad, you can see everything very easily. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. It reminds me a lot of like Uno. I was weird and played high level Uno, like Xbox Live on the 360 when that was new. I was like number three in the world at one point on the Uno leaderboards.
Damn. So... one of the best Uno players in the world on this podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like a more complicated Uno, so I'm really enjoying it. The only thing that I've realized while playing it, the way I suck at Mahjong, is that I get too rigid in how I'm going to win. And you need to be flexible depending on what's coming at you and what other people have dropped off. And I need to realize when the strategy I've picked is a bad strategy. Still getting better at it, but... it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. I'm glad I finally learned how to play it. Now I can like load up all of these old arcade ROMs of like hentai Mahjong or whatever.
And yeah. Start
playing that up. Yeah.
And you can get that on Steam now.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, I searched for Mahjong games on Steam and there is not enough. It's like all that.
The
like
matching
Shanghai solitaire Mahjong. So there's not a good like computer Mahjong thing other than this Mahjong Soul game, which you can also play in a browser on a PC. So
oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
there's our app idea. We make a good Mahjong and we sell it. There you go.
And also put in Anime Ladies.
Of course.
That's what you need.
I mean, you got it. I mean, nothing else you could do.
Also, I spent money on that Mahjong Soul game, and I didn't even get a character. I just got Christmas backgrounds and tiles, so I felt like a real rube. But whatever.
Oh,
I only
Mary.
Spent $15, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. So I was like, it's fine. They deserve some money. I want this game to keep going. So.
You gotta buy one of those cool-looking Mahjong sets, Mary. That's what you gotta buy.
No, what you need to buy is one of those badass automatic Mahjong tables
does
all
the
shuffling for you and, like, rearranges the tiles. And like,
really cool.
Yeah, they're, like, trap doors on the table
exactly
that
what
they
you're
raise
talking about.
Up. Well, it's been an anime before, so... Yeah, there are crazy videos on YouTube of just like people using those tables. So
they're so cool where they have the little thing in the middle and they push it all in. Also, I just love the way Mahjong tiles look. Like they look like candy. They look like little tiny blocks.
The way they're kind of translucent. Yeah.
So cool.
They make nice sounds too, which Yakuza replicates very well. Rabid brought up a good point saying you also need four people. One of my friends knows how to play Hanafuda, so he can pick up Mahjong. Like, I never understood how to play Hanafuda, but maybe now I could.
Those automatic, those automatic tables are fucking wild. I just looked up a GIF and, like, what the fuck?
Man, Mahjong's, big. I mean, you talk about chess. Like, Mahjong is probably right up there with chess in terms of how many people play it. Especially, like, people on the street, like, will play Mahjong and, like, kind of like chess park kind of things, you know? Like, it's a very popular thing to do. Drink your tea, your coffee, play a little Mahjong.
Well, those people are probably playing with different rule sets. Like, I learned how to play the Japanese rule set. But I bet there's not that many differences with the Chinese one. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm glad I learned how to play it finally because I've wanted to forever.
Me too.
Was like, I don't know. But yeah, you should try, if you want to try.
Mahjong Soul, I'll check it out.
Yeah, do the tutorial on that, and I think it'll make sense. Like, it's a very good tutorial. It actually quizzes you on stuff, like, as it's teaching you things. So it's not just, like, static screens where you just say, okay, I think I understand. Like, it tries to actually test you as you're learning, so that's cool. But yeah, I've barely played any more Cyberpunk or Yakuza because I have a baby on my lap pretty much 24/7. So, but she did start sleeping at night, like in her crib, 7 hours at a time.
That's good.
So maybe I'll be able to play games sometime soon. The only other stuff I've played is stuff on the Switch.
Okay.
I have played. A new Picross game came out like end of November and nobody said anything about it. I just happened to be looking on the eShop because I was like, I need a new game on this thing. And so I got Picross S5. They actually finally added the option to silence the sound effects in all the menus. Before they had like a relaxing, they have like, here's your relaxing sounds. And I was like, okay, I appreciate these relaxing sounds, but all these loud ass menu sounds are super annoying.
Yep.
They finally added the option to turn those down. So yay. It's a good Picross game. I mean, it's still only marginal like differences between the series, but yeah. It's more Picross puzzles, so it's good. The only other thing I have going on is that I signed up for text message alerts on a pre-order for a virtual pinball table.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
Yeah, because it's been like almost a year since I've played pinball, and it's
getting that itch.
Crazy. Yeah. So Arcade 1-Up has this 3/4 scale pinball table coming out. The Star Wars and Marvel versions are releasing soon, but they also announced a Williams version, which has Zen Studios software doing like the actual Williams tables that are my favorite in pinball. So there's like Medieval Madness, there's Fishtails, there's like a game list out with like 10 games and they're all very good games. Like they don't have licensed stuff. Like there's no Star Trek Next Generation or like, I don't know, with people like Twilight Zone or Adam's Family. Those aren't there. Well, those aren't Williams either, but whatever. But yeah, the tables that they do have on there are actually super fun. I've seen video reviews of people with like the Star Wars table, so the build quality seems pretty good. Like there's an actual accelerometer so you can like shift the table around to nudge.
Nice.
Yeah, there's like pentometers built in, so there's like a little bit of force feedback when you hit the flipper buttons, so it feels a little bit more like a real pinball table. And people were saying it actually works fairly well, so I'm looking forward to that. It's not super expensive either, so
I'm sure someone will find a way to hack those things too. You can put a PC or something in there and hook it up.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So is it like a traditional virtual tape or a virtual pinball table where there's a LCD for the back glass too, and then the play field?
Well, there's an LCD for like the DMD, like the actual back glass is static. It won't be showing like it's just the little
score digits. Area. Like yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that seems pretty good.
It does seem neat.
It's not 1/1 scale, but that's fine. And I'm also like, the reason I want to get it is so I can teach the baby how to play pinball eventually.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
Yeah, so it being a little bit smaller is fine. Like, it'll be easier for her to learn on there.
This is the first I've heard of the 3/4 size pinball machines. Like, I know there was, like, Street Fighter and other ones, but I don't know. That seems better than a regular arcade cabinet for, like, the size compromise. Like, that makes more sense to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like you can buy risers for like the arcade 1-up things, which if I did buy one of those cabinets, I totally would, because it would, yeah, not be good. But yeah, like I saw, like I said, I saw a video like review unboxing of like some dude messing with this virtual pinball table by Arcade 1-Up, and he said he was like 6'2", and he was able to use it comfortably. Like he didn't need to sit down at it or anything weird. Cool. So
nice.
Should be good. I am excited for it. I hope I'm able to buy one when they open up pre-orders.
There you go.
Like, they were supposed to be out already before Christmas, but they were delaying it. Yeah, so
yeah, I bet that's hard. But
it's hard getting shipping stuff over from China right now is an extra pain in the ass, apparently. So
well, it's Chinese New Year is right now, so that goes until like February or something.
Yeah, there's also that too, yeah. But yep, I'm looking forward to that when I'm able to actually buy it. But
cool.
Gary and I decided, I was like showing him all these videos of it and everything. And once I saw that they actually have like tables I want to play instead of just like, here's all these made up Star Wars and Marvel things. Like, I don't really care about those. But hey, I can play Medieval Madness for like $500. Yes. Please, thank you.
And a couple of other tables.
Yes, yeah. I think there's like 10 total. They were originally going to have the game Funhouse on there, but they had to replace it with Hurricane, which Hurricane sucks, but whatever, that's fine. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that a lot.
Cool. Yeah, I saw these Attack on Mars ones. I'm looking at this link that he had in our talk. I saw them up at Walmart. I didn't even realize they were that. That's
Wait,
cool.
What?
I think I saw these Attack on Mars pinball tables at Walmart, yeah.
No, they're not selling them in stores. They're only selling this specific one on their website. You might have seen the Star Wars or, like, Marvel ones, but...
I swear to God, I saw an Attack on Mars thing, so I don't know what it was, but I swear, I'm not lying, it was at Walmart, I swear.
You to go and take a picture or something, because Because if this is available in stores, I will run and go get one right now. Because
I swear to God, I thought it was. I mean, I saw it was some Attack on Mars thing, so maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't a pinball table. But how many other things had Attack on Mars on it? I don't know. Maybe that's me. Maybe I'm insane. Maybe it wasn't Attack on Mars. Maybe I'm just losing my mind. Maybe I'm just losing my mind. These are the things that are possible.
Well, I'm searching it now.
Okay. Well, good luck getting
it. Well, they have Mars Attacks on DVD and Blu-ray, but
I mean, some Mars-related attack.
Oh, they did have the Martians from Mars Attacks in the Walmart Super Bowl ad. Maybe there is some sort of stuff related to that. I remember that because I was like, that's crazy.
Maybe. I don't know.
You need to get me evidence.
Okay. I will someday, maybe, if I ever go back to Walmart again. Gonna try to avoid that one. Unpleasant experiences at Walmart. Just never like going there. That's all I'm saying. Don't reach out to me on Twitter, please. I don't want to be talking to brands. Please. Like Popeyes reaching out to me. I complained. It's like, hey, man. Sorry you had a bad experience at Popeyes. Like, man, I'm not going to talk to you about your chicken. What are you doing? Don't reach out to me. But also do. If you're a video game brand. But if you're like a Popeyes brand, I don't want to hear from you.
Popeyes, no. Video games?
Come on in.
I mean, Popeyes can contact me. I love their food.
Wow. Okay. I mean, their chicken is better than KFC. That's all I'm saying.
Popeyes has got to open a store here first for me to...
For you to judge.
For me to shill for Popeyes.
Okay.
The closest one's like 2.5 hours from here. So.
Okay, sir. How about you? Speaking of 2.5 hours, how is Journey, the game that seemed like it ended up taking me like around 2.5 hours to complete?
Journey was really good. I got a copy of it for Christmas from one of our friends. And I sat there and just played through it, one sitting.
A very good game. I will literally always remember Journey, especially the ending and stuff like that. It was such a very powerful ending, I felt like. Very well written.
Yeah, it was. I saw some people. That was kind of cool. I was very surprised. I was like, wow, there's people still
actively taking the journey.
Taking the journey.
Oh. Cool. Jet, what'd you think?
It was all right. Thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have like a fake bot thing that they can do, like if nobody's on.
That's kind of what I was thinking at first. I was like, are these people? I can't tell if these are people, but
yeah,
there are people.
Okay, cool.
Listen, sometimes you can tell.
At the end, it tells you who you played with. Like, it tells you their Steam IDs or whatever.
I mean, having played...
Did you look them up to make sure it wasn't a lie?
It's all a lie.
I didn't want to ruin the illusion if it was.
Okay.
Ignorance is bliss and all that.
It is. I played PUBG yesterday. They added bots to PUBG, and you can tell. They walk down the middle of the road real smooth, like, then they just get shot. It's pretty bad. There's a lot of bots in PUBG now, so it's a lot of fun with that. But I feel like it'd be hard to make a bot for Journey, though. It's such a, like, to make it convincing, to make it like they're moving in a way. Like, that'd be hard. I don't know.
And then, like, during the snow part, you regenerate your scarf if you're next to the person, like you're next to your buddy.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty cool. And there were spots where it was like, there's a couple of places where it's like, oh, it's super windy and you got to stand behind like gravestones or something like that, so you don't get blown away.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy I was playing with did not understand that at first. And I sat there and I waited for him and he figured it out.
Cool. I feel like I don't remember how Journey ends. I don't remember. I'm trying to think, like, what was the ending of Journey, actually? Was it... Everybody died at the end of Journey.
Just go play it.
I don't want to play Journey. Yeah. I could never have that same experience of playing Journey for the first time. It wouldn't be...
Well, it sounds like you've forgotten a lot of it.
I forgot most of it. No, I know. I remember bits. I remember pieces. I remember the snow. When you said snow, I was like, all right. Regenerating the scarf. I remember that.
I got an achievement for making it through a level without tearing my scarf.
There you go.
But then it got torn later. I was sad.
Oh. Well, it's not good. Okay. Well, let me ask you then about another game where you take a journey, and that journey in this case is from a place called Tarkov, and it is an escape. I don't know, man. I just try it out.
Here's some spoilers. Nobody ever escapes from Tarkov. Everybody dies.
Wow. Just a like lot. Journey.
Just sort of. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Damn. Got him.
On Christmas Eve, there was a wipe. Count wipes.
Oh, really?
So everybody was reset, and they added a whole bunch of new shit to the game. They expanded one of the maps, like, fairly substantially. It's a pretty big rework on that map. I haven't remembered, like, diving into Tarkov. I've just been kind of playing with it here and there, just coming back into it. That sure is a video game.
Holy cow.
Huh. And they did something that was kind of cool, because in a lot of the levels there's like nods to sort of like occult stuff and like cultists and shit. Like, you'll find, like, on each level there's, in one of the buildings there's a marked room and it's locked, and when you get in there it's like there's a pentagram on the ground, there's like a dead person in a tub, and there's candles and shit, and there's always good loot in there. But they added cultists, which they'd been hinting at for a while now, and they didn't have them in the patch notes. They didn't do anything. And then they Battle State talked to the mods of the subreddit and was like, hey, anything that mentions the cultists, just delete it. Because we want people to find them on their own. And then after like a week, I think, a week or so, yeah, then they were like, Yeah, we added cultists. But they're terrifying. Holy shit.
They have, like, come at you?
Yeah, they come at you. Because they have a knife that's poisoned.
Oh my god.
And if they stick you, you die real quick. Unless you have the cure. Which you probably don't have the cure. And they're wearing like level 5 and 6 body armors. So you have to shoot them a lot.
Huh.
And they're fast. And you have to do night raids to find them. So it's like between 11 p.m. and like 5 a.m., I think. And then you have to be sort of around the cult areas on the maps, I think. Not entirely sure.
So do they drop anything cool, like if you...
I think you can take their knife. It's not. It doesn't keep the poison aspect of it, but it's a cool knife.
Okay.
So, because normally you can't take other people's melee weapons off their bodies. You can with you can take them off of AI scavengers and like the AI bosses. You can take their melee weapons. Mostly because there's one. It's an ice pick called the Red Rebel, and it unlocks one extract on one of the maps. That is like makes that map significantly easier. You just can't wear armor, I think, when you extract through there, because it's like a cliff, and you have an ice pick, and it's like, hey, if you have an ice pick and this paracord on you, you can use this extract.
Oh, but neat. Okay.
The spawn rate for that pickaxe is pretty low, and it's only one guy. It's one boss that will drop it. So first you have to go find the boss. You have to kill him. Good luck. And then he may or may not have the ice pick on him. But then once you put that into your inventory slot, it's yours forever.
That's pretty good. That's neat. Yeah, Tarkov always seems really neat.
Yeah, it always sounds so fun. But then I get intimidated into not playing it. Like the Dark Zone and the Division, but way better. Yeah.
It does seem intense.
Well, now it's got even scarier, so.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of not being scary, I'm just constantly doing the same thing. Like, I just do the same transit. Speaking of.
He's becoming self-aware.
Oh my god. My goodness. Calico. You played Calico.
I did. I played a bit of Calico.
Oh.
DJ actually gave me a copy of Calico on Steam. And I didn't play a ton of it yet. But it seems pretty cool so far. And like you can pick up animals and the cats, and then they just like ragdoll, and you can like shake them around. And they like jiggle.
Oh, that's god!
Funny.
That's cool.
And you can store an animal, and you just put it on your head. And if you're wearing a hat, it just puts a little version of that hat on the
animal. That's
adorable. I had a glitch where I got a crow, and I put the crow on my head, and it put the little like a cowboy hat on the crow's head, and then I took the crow off, and the crow still had a little cowboy hat on. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I was like, yeah.
Yeah, this should be a feature, not a bug.
Feature. Cowboy crow.
What do you do in that game besides, you make
a cat cafe.
Okay.
It is very cutesy. The art style is kind of nuts, very pastel.
Yeah, it does look really neat, art style-wise.
I remember we saw a trailer for it all together, and we were like, oh, that looks cool, and I forgot that it came out.
Yeah, I think it was already out on Steam Early Access, I think, and then we saw the trailer for like the Switch version or something.
Okay, yeah, that was it.
This looks really cute.
Yep, it's a very cutesy game, and I need to play more of it.
What are you serving at your cat cafe?
Cat face cookies. They're cookies that are in faces of cats, not cookies made of faces.
Oh, cat faces? Cats. Okay, yeah. Okay. Good. Good.
Not that
good.
Kind of cat cafe.
Yeah.
We're not serving cat at the cat cafe. No, we're serving cats.
And it's awesome cafe. When you make the recipes, you shrink down to super tiny and you run around on the countertop and you pick up stuff and throw it into a bowl.
Oh, neat.
It's like, hey, you need one egg. So you run over to the egg carton, you open it up, and you just have this giant egg, and you just throw it in the bowl.
But how are you going to get the shell out of that egg? Seems a little
magic.
Magic. Yeah. That's fair.
And then you played Rocket League, too.
Yeah, I've just been playing more Rocket League.
How's the battle been? How's been the ever-growing quest to score the hot goals to shoot to Jay?
Good.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I'm not very good at Rocket League, yet I continue to play it.
Okay. For some reason, tradition.
I still haven't played any ranked because I'm a scared bitch.
You will win your first couple ranked games, I promise you. I doubt it. It matched you low for the first couple of games.
Okay.
You'll do well. We rolled over a couple people. It was real.
Do people use voice chat more in ranked?
No.
No, really? They don't?
No. I mean, they might, but I turn it off, so I don't know.
Nobody uses their voice in casual.
No, in regular.
Casual, no. You never hear anybody talking. So, but I figured people would probably use voice chat more in ranked, where it like kind of matters.
You would think, but I haven't run into that a couple times I played. Like, I haven't played much ranked, but I don't even think I've beaten my placement matches yet.
I was about to say maybe you're not high enough level.
I gotta get more pro.
We gotta get K1 and we can go do our placement matches.
There you go. That sounds like fun. Get that done. We'll do that. That sounds like a lot of fun. Okay. Well, that's all the games everybody wanted to talk about. The news is pretty empty news-wise, folks. There's not a lot going on. There's the continuing evolution of Cyberpunk, the continuing drams.
What's everybody? Have we recorded since Cyberpunk came out?
I haven't. Like, I was gonna say,
I don't think we did.
I have barely played any of it. I've gotten a few sessions in, but I still haven't even gotten to the point where you have Keanu Reeves. Like, he hasn't shown up in my game yet at all. I haven't had anything crazy exciting happen, like glitch-wise or whatever either. So, I don't know. It's not a game it's not turn-based like Yakuza. It's not really a game I can play with a sleeping baby on my lap, because I start shooting and she wakes up. I use a grenade. She wakes up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Actually, I did try and fight a boss, and the boss got stuck under the stairs, and I had to loot an item off of their body before the mission would end. Mm-hmm. So I had to reload a save. So there you go. And I think that's when I stopped playing for that day.
That's fair. Uh-huh.
It doesn't It doesn't run particularly well on my PC, but I mean, kind of to be expected. My graphics card's not super new anymore. I've run it at 1080p and upscale it to 1440. And I run the game at 110 FOV, so that's also a pretty big frame rate hit, but I'm able to keep it around 70, 75-ish.
I loaded up a Digital Foundry video and did the settings for like the most efficient like ray tracing settings, and basically have been using that, and it's been running fine.
I don't even have fancy ray tracing. Still on that 1080.
It looks nice. Like,
yeah, it looks cool. Fine. I had to turn everything all the way down, basically, to get it to run at a decent frame rate. But there's been a couple of bugs I've ran into. I really don't like that the cutscene FOV is narrower than what you pick in the menu.
Okay. Uh-huh.
If you change it, at least. If you don't change it, it's whatever. But
that's annoying, though.
Yeah, it's because like you sit down at a bar and you're supposed to be talking to somebody, and then it just zooms in, like your FOV drops 30 degrees. And I'm just like, what the fuck is, oh, this looks really weird. It's like I'm staring at this person, like binoculars.
Lock
Hello,
it in.
It's Cyberpunk.
Hello, welcome.
Oh, don't worry about these. These are my implants. It's fine. Just giant binoculars. And then I had a couple, I've had a couple of times where it didn't go back to my chosen FOV after the cutscene.
That's really crappy.
Yeah. And what's funny is I looked up a way to manually change the FOV, and you can do it while the game is running. You just change a file in the game or an INI file somewhere. I didn't know you could do it while the game was running. And the video that I saw, the guy was at the exact same quest that I was. He had just gotten out of the building, and I'm sure he was like, why is my FOV locked at 80? Why did my FOV not go back? But his fix worked, so that was nice.
Do you have to do it every single time that happens, or?
That was the only time I actually had it happen.
Okay.
There's another time, but it wasn't permanent. It was like the quest involved you talking to somebody at one spot and then following them somewhere else. And then there's a bunch of other shit that goes on. And theoretically, you could just fuck off and go do whatever after you talk to him in the first spot. My FOV was locked. I was like, "What? This looks weird." I was like, why is this look super narrow all of a sudden? And then once I finished that little quest line, it went back. I was like, come on. Like, if you're gonna put an FOV slide in your game, make your cutscenes accommodate that FOV. Like, come on. I understand there's like culling and stuff that you can do with a more narrow FOV, and you don't have to render as much shit. But like, if you're gonna have a FOV slider, just make the cutscenes work around that, because then they'll work around the small ones too. I don't know. This is one gripe.
I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of stuff messed up in that game, and a lot of dummied out graphical settings too, which is weird. So Maybe they'll fix it eventually.
When I buy it in 1 year, it'll be done. I'm very excited about it. Very excited. Maybe. Who knows about how to buy that game?
When you're driving or when you're riding in a car with somebody, like for a story mission, the car is clearly just floating and like following waypoints. And it's like doing things that a car would not move. Like, that's not how a car would move. It's like, we need the car over here, but facing the opposite direction. So your car is like a complete 180, like donut.
Whoa.
It looks a little weird. But, I mean,
yeah, it seems like there's a lot of weird shortcuts in that game.
Like the children are just
they
adult.
Look terrible.
They're just adult NPCs that are just small. And they're just walking around. They're not doing kid stuff. They're just walking around. Like, I saw this kid. He's got headphones on and some tattered pants. I'm like, this kid's got bills to pay. Like, this kid's got alimony. Like, what the fuck is this?
He's out here.
He has shit to do. Like, this is not, this is just a, I don't know what Cyberpunk, like, what the fuck happened there, but like, kids aren't allowed to do kid stuff, apparently. Yep.
Well, they'll new elementary school.
None of the pedestrians are doing anything other than like walking around, and it's really weird.
And there's little things
standing,
like,
just strolling.
Like, hey, this NPC standing at a food cart. So I would expect if I tried to interact with them, it'd be like, hey, you want to buy some food? And they're like, do I know you? Motherfucker, you're selling food. That's why I interacted with you. Say something about the food. It seems really weird. But there's cats and you can pet them. Or there's a cat model that I saw. It's a sphinx, a hairless cat. You can pet it.
Man. Gosh. Can I tell you guys a spoiler?
Spoiler?
For which?
Get a cat. Okay, so there. That's enough.
What do you do with the cat, though? I mean, do you have a house or is it like a...
Yeah, you have an apartment.
Oh.
I didn't know you could befriend the cat. Is it outside of what's-his-face's lab? Because that's where I first saw the cat.
It's in the apartment house.
Okay.
You basically have to find cat food, and then you put it in a certain area. You attract a cat. You befriend the cat. and then the cat lives with you.
Hanging out.
So I gotta play Cyberpunk tonight.
Yeah. I mean, my mom is here helping taking care of the baby. I'm gonna see if I can squeeze in a little bit of Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Well, I have nothing else.
Other than that, though, I've been enjoying it. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's got open world jank for sure, and probably should not have been an open world game. In my opinion, but like,
sure.
It seems like they came up with cool designs for the city. Like they spent all the time on the environment, and then they ran out of time for everything else.
Yeah, but I'm surprised. I was kind of surprised at how much there is to a lot of the side quests. Like how much there's like voice lines, and there's all this other shit that took like a lot of work. Like some stuff that's on par with the main missions.
I need to play more of it. That's also why I've barely done anything in the story, because I was just wandering around and doing stuff. Right. So
it took me 6 hours to get to the title card. I believe it took one of our friends 11 hours because she was playing, like doing all the side quests and stuff.
My God. Title card in 11 hours.
I don't think I've seen it yet either. Maybe I have. I don't know.
Okay.
No, you have not.
Okay, all right.
You have not seen the title card. You will know from what I know. You'll know.
You'll know when you see the title card. Okay. When the title card shows up,
you'll know. You'll see it,
and you'll go, "Oh, hey, there's the title card."
It'll make sense narratively, from what I hear.
Okay.
Like, shit, here's the title. Here it is. I'm gonna have to watch Johnny Mnemonic or whatever.
Yeah, you should. It's a dumb movie. Yeah.
It's good. Love them. Love a good Keanu Reeves. So we might have to watch that.
I need to get that whip wire weapon so I can relive that movie.
With the whip wire.
It has a fancy name, but I don't remember what it is. It's like monofilament wire. I don't know.
And with that, I have nothing else, guys. I don't know. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Or are we...
I mean, you have a note in here about Game of the Year. Maybe we'll do that next week?
We could do that.
You want. Or I'll just... Here you go. Here's my Game of the Year for last year. Final Fantasy VII Remake. There you go.
Oh my goodness. Who could have... predicted Mary would pick Final Fantasy VII as her Game of the Year?
That and Cook Serve Delicious 3...
Okay,
those are both very good. Yeah. Okay. Those are off the top of my head.
I don't think you have to guess mine.
Tarkov? Wow, really?
Half-Life?
We talked about it so much. Okay.
Alex.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
Just because it did a ton of cool shit with the medium. And
right.
I don't know.
Is that on sale at all? On the Steam sale?
It might be.
Because I'd like to play it.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't want to pay $60.
It's $40, I think, right now. So.
Okay, well, maybe I'll pick that up.
I've been eyeing it, but I want to know it. Like, I can play it on my computer. I gotta figure out the whole, like, streaming thing to the headset. Oh, no, actually, I don't have a good, It's probably Hades. It's probably Hades.
I should buy that too. Everybody loves it. So.
It's probably. But also, there's like I have blind spots. Like I would like to play Yakuza like a dragon.
That's also very good.
Probably there, and I also have that.
Very good.
I wanted to play that. Whatever it's called. It's 13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim. That's another game I want to play. Also, I wanted to play Umaragi Generations, but I haven't gotten around. I have blind spots. So.
What about Teardown?
I'm good.
That game seems very early access still, so.
Yeah.
It's cool, though.
It is. That feels like a 2021 game to me, but that's just me. Yeah, it's probably Hades. I'm looking at all these games. I'm looking at the games now. It's probably Hades. And then maybe like. Then maybe like Ori's up there. Yeah, I think I would probably go with that. Okay.
Cool.
And with that, those are our games of the year, I guess. We might do something next week more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to actually look at stuff. Yeah.
We'll think about it. But until then, I've been Albie. It's been episode 217 of Roms Over Baghdad. You can find us on Twitch, Roms Over Baghdad Twitch account, twitch.tv/RomsOverBaghdad.
That's the one.
RomsBag@gmail.com is their email also address. You can send us questions. At RomsBag is the Twitter. You can tweet at us. I don't know if anyone will tweet back at you. I think Optics does that all the time, but that's his area of expertise. I'm not a Twitter man. Popeyes, stop tweeting at me, please. Popeyes.
Stop it.
Stop it, Popeyes. And with that, we'll catch you next on our website, RomsBag.com. Is it that Moe? That's the thing.
That's the outro. You did it.
That's the outro. Yay.
Cool. We'll see everybody next week.
Adios.